All right, a public health emergency in the village of St. Cloud today, a boil water advisory in effect due to low water pressure in the system. The tap water may be unsafe and should not be used for drinking, making ice, brushing teeth, food preparation. We're going to talk with Village Trustee Dan Dreifurst. He'll join us on the next segment of the show. Public Health Officer Kim Miller will join us on the program. We'll find out if they're close to finding the leak or whatever is causing the low water pressure and when they expect to have this problem fixed. Authorities say a months-long investigation into a large deer poaching case in southwestern Wisconsin has resulted in the conviction of five men. DNR officials estimate as many as 40 deer were killed before the suspects were arrested. Joining us on this segment of the show, the chief DNR warden for the state of Wisconsin, Todd Schaller. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure having you on the program, by the way. Fond du Lac County Sheriff Ryan Waldschmidt said to say hello.
Yes. Hi back to Ryan. So All he right. must have been on your show earlier.
Yeah. All right. So when did these poaching incidents happen?
This actually started back in 2018. And like a lot of the cases that are of this size and nature, you know, they're complex. So it takes a while to kind of filter our way through it and get a good understanding of all what occurred and who was all involved and ultimately work them through the court process. So the length isn't surprising. The volume of deer is certainly concerning, and you know, the individuals involved here are not hunters. They're people who willingly and knowingly, you know, are out to damage the resource.
So this is in Vernon County. Is that along the Mississippi?
Yes, Vernon County, southwest Wisconsin, part of Vernon County borders the Mississippi River, yeah. So Viroqua is, I think, the county seat of Vernon County.
Beautiful part of the state.
Beautiful part of the state, good deer population, and yeah, this is too bad. And another thing to highlight about this is, you know, we were made aware of this from the public, and again, that is very common in these cases where the public either hears, sees something, and is willing to pick up the phone and make us aware.
Okay, so you guys, how did that tip come in? Were these deer killed in a relatively short period of time, or was it? Oh, you mentioned this goes back to 2018. Was this over a long period of time, or how? What happened here?
It was over a lengthy period of time, and you know, months, and actually, I believe in this particular case, you know, multiple years, which accounts for the number of deer involved. So I don't know the specifics of what the public either saw, whether they heard a shot or found a dead deer. But oftentimes it's kind of those little pieces of the puzzle that we were able to put together that will result in a case like this.
All right. So were all of these people together? Were they part of a group, or were they acting individually?
Nope, they were working together in a variety of ways, and I think it, you know, different times it was, you know, a couple of them, and other times it might have been multiple, you know, all of them. It was a group effort.
What would they do?
Primarily was shining and shooting deer at night, which is extremely dangerous, right? Because you don't know, you know, what's behind that deer, or you know, you don't have that visibility. So it was. The most of their activity was either shining and shooting with a gun and or crossbows.
So that probably is one. Somebody probably saw them doing that, and that probably got law enforcement interested, I would imagine.
Sure.
I would imagine the local sheriff's office was involved in this as well.
Yeah, I think the sheriff's department assisted. Obviously, the local district attorney and the court system were a big part of this. So it truly was a team effort. You know, the department, the sheriff's department, and the local court systems to ensure that we hold these individuals accountable for their dangerous unsafe and resource damaging actions.
What, were they hunting the deer for, I mean, when the hunters go out during the season, they're hunting to stock up for food for the winter. Were they hunting for food?
No, this was not a circumstance where they were, you know, in need of food or hunting for food. I think in a way it was more of a, it's terrible to say, it was more of a game, more of a challenge of, you know, couldn't they do it? How many can they do? Do they get away with it? Those type of things.
So they would shoot and kill the deer and just leave the deer there?
Yep, correct.
Wow. Did they show any, are you aware if they showed any remorse for what they did?
A couple of individuals had some prior DNR-type violations or actions brought against them. So, I mean, I think it's hard to say if they were remorseful for what they did. Obviously, we'll see how these penalties impact and potential change for them. But clearly, when they were doing the actions, they weren't thinking about that or caring about the damage they were doing or the fact that they were putting others in harm's way.
All right. And you mentioned that they're not deer hunters during the deer season.
No, they are hunters. They are.
Oh, they are. Okay.
Individuals who hunt. I guess what I was saying is I don't classify.
This isn't hunting. This wasn't hunting.
This isn't hunting.
No, this was a game for them. All right. Yep. So what are the penalties? What they can't hunt now.
Yep. All of them have slightly different penalties based on their involvement in it. But they all have revocation of their hunting privileges. They all are paying substantial monetary fines. Two of the individuals, or one of the individuals, had a $12,000 plus fine and 15 years of revocation. Another individual had just under $10,000 in fine and 12 years of revocation. Wisconsin is a part of the Interstate Wildlife Compact, so if you're revoked, your privileges are revoked in Wisconsin. It applies to, I believe there's 48 other states involved in that compact, so their hunting privileges are basically shut down throughout the United States.
Unfortunately, from time to time, you see poaching incidents in the state. Have you ever seen anything quite like this?
We've had some incidents like this over the course of my time as chief. You know, they're rare, but they do occur. And as I said, oftentimes the reason we're successful in coming to a resolution is because the public gets involved and lets us know what they're seeing or hearing.
All right, and now these individuals are paying the price, and if they get caught again, I mean, if they violate their sentence, can they be charged with bail jumping?
Yeah, I believe parts of their revocations could include some type of, you know, court action because of their failing to comply. They could be recharged again for, you know, hunting without license or hunting after revocation is another crime. So yeah, I think anything at this point that they do and would get caught doing would be, you know, significant penalties that the court would probably frown upon. You know, the fact that they didn't understand the magnitude of their violations and the court penalties associated with them.
All right. Horrific case of poaching. And in this case, these individuals were caught and convicted. Now they're paying the price. DNR's chief warden, Todd Schaller. Todd, we greatly appreciate you joining us on the program from San Jose, California, where you're competing in the first round of the Food Network Holiday Bake Off with your famous gingerbread house with duck-billed platypus cream sauce. Good luck on that. And
I appreciate that.
Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you, Greg.